Today on the program, we are going to spend time visiting with John Rosa from the Boone County Landfill, Boone County Recycling. He's the administrator, the man, the legend.
Yeah. Good morning.
Good to have you here. Thanks for coming back and shifting your regular visit with us.
Absolutely.
So talk a little bit about what's going on. Of course, made it through the holiday, and the landfill was closed yesterday. Woo-woo.
Yeah.
And you don't have many days when you close, but you do have some, yep, and Labor Day happened to be one of them.
Yep, we have a few holidays, and then we open up an hour early than the day after to accommodate haulers a little bit. If they so chose to run their routes or adjust, then we can be open a little bit more too. They got to condense their times, I guess. So yeah, we open up an hour early and let them get in a little bit sooner and get back to work. So,
and away we go.
That's it.
Last week would have been your most recent household hazardous waste drop-off opportunity, the first Saturday in September. Not sure how it went. It was a busy week with the holiday weekend and everything. I don't know how busy it would have been for you.
I honestly don't have a report for you either. I didn't get a chance to talk to the guy that covered it for us before I came in. So,
but the big one to remember is the next one is on the road.
That's right. Yep. So in October, it'll be the 7th, looking at your calendar over there, the first Saturday. We head down to Madrid, have that at St. Malachy's in the parking lot out back there, try to get out to that area and make it a little bit even more convenient for Madrid residents and the surrounding area, of course, as long as it's in our service area, we will take that. Metro Waste Authority comes up, brings their trailer, and we make an event out of that to collect. Talking about the chemicals, leftover lawn fertilizers, bug killer, oil-based paint, drawing a blank of all the different stuff, brake fluid and a lot antifreeze, just stuff that, you know, maybe shouldn't be sitting around your home, and maybe it's time to get rid of it. So if you're not sure, if we take that, give us a call. We can usually answer those questions in advance. If you do bring it out to the collection event, just be prepared that if we say no, you might have to take it back home. But we try. And I try to emphasize that to folks, and Metro does that too, to say, you know, we want to collect as much as we can. And otherwise, if you go back, you're like, I'm not sure what to do with this, it's probably going to get just dumped or sent to the landfill or somewhere else that
somewhere where you really don't want it to be.
Yep, yeah, absolutely. So, but call, please. Call the landfill, 515-433-0591. We can usually answer most of the questions. If you do stump us with something, we'll get back to you and get you the correct answer.
I think the parts that always make me laugh, we don't take radioactive material or explosives.
Right.
So.
Yeah, we don't want those things here.
Just going, yep. I think, well, there we go. But it's household hazardous waste. And producers, you know, you've got other ways to deal with it. And I'm sure their suppliers help them too.
So. That's right.
So, but yeah, it is the household one. And a lot of times I know you recommend it, you get down to the end, you know, might have this fertilizer left or something you were using on your lawn. Find a way to use it if you can.
Right.
But if you can't, absolutely can't, you'll do it. And we also want to point out, I know these were the regular events that you scheduled, but they can still schedule an appointment.
Yeah. If you miss the one Saturday and don't want to wait till October or go down to Madrid, we do the collections at the landfill during the week, Monday through Friday. Just call ahead of time so we can make sure someone's available to help you out. That's the only disclaimer, I guess. The Saturday ones are just that convenient. You can stop out, drop them off without an appointment, et cetera. But during the week, if you don't want to wait or can't make it the 7th or got a football game or whatever might be going on
there, whatever's affecting your schedule. It's not that hard.
Yeah. And we tried to do the Saturdays once a month to just make it a little bit even easier for folks to drop it off, to do the right thing with it. And that's our incentive behind it, is to be a customer service oriented, frankly, to say, yeah, we got more hours. Here's the times you can bring it on out. And, we want you to do the right thing with it. So that's our push anyway, trying to do it that way.
Let's push into Keep Boone County Beautiful a second, because I know there seems to be somewhat of an effort to draw more attention to it.
Yeah.
Is that the best way to put it? I'm going to say, I mean, you've got families and groups. I think you've got some 4-H groups mm-hmm. that have adopted roadways and things like that. And they're pretty consistent about it. They do it as their community service, and that's great. But I think you're starting to get some people that are trying to attract a little more attention to
it. Yeah. Getting more of the adopter road things going on, and as you mentioned, it's really anybody, any organization group that we can work with. It's a little bit more comforting to have a group, you know, mm-hmm. that would keep it going versus an individual. But there's certainly, I'm not saying that individuals can't do it either, and we appreciate any of the efforts. So if you have a group of people that want to make a difference and clean up a certain stretch of road in the county, maybe it's a particular stretch that you like or that you travel a lot, and you're kind of sick of people throwing stuff on that roadway and want to keep it clean, then just give us a call and we can help you out. We ask for a 2-year commitment, clean it twice a year.
It's not overwhelming, is it?
No, it's not really. Mm-hmm. And once you do it the first time, then it's usually easier to maintain it. That first one, if it's a brand new area, yeah. that might be a little rough. But mm-hmm. after you get through that, then the routine maintenance of it, twice a year, we supply vests, bags, grabbers, all that stuff. We can help you out. We'll come out and pick it up when you're done. You just got to pile it up and let us know mm-hmm. when you are done with it. So pretty simple, straightforward, you know, and you're talking, you know, depending on how far you go and how fast you go, you know, you can knock it out in the morning, an afternoon, 2-3 hours usually, depend on the number of people and stretch of road, etc. So but the county has theirs. We just did our cleanup on our stretch road on Old 30, got that out, and it's really discouraging after you get it done and then the next day that there's already stuff thrown out there. So it's a little bit disheartening when that happens, but we're going to persevere. We'll win. We'll keep picking it up, and we're not going to allow that. So, but it's frustrating. I tell you what, Jim, that sense of frustration in my voice.
Yes, I can. Yeah,
why
do
we still keep throwing stuff out? Why? I mean, I get if stuff falls out of your vehicle, but, or flies out, you know, a little wrapper or something, but, you know, contain it. Don't just let it fly around your car or
I mean, that whole bag of fast food stuff.
Kind of
spreads across the way.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's a little bit disappointing, and it's like, why are we still throwing? I get littering is how it used to be back, whatever, or, you know, we've done it that way. Well, it's really time to stop, and, you know, it'd be nice to not have to clean up our road that many times every year, and all those people that do it, but glad they are out there, glad those groups and organizations are out there doing that community service to make Boone County a little more beautiful by picking up litter off the roads.
Yeah. I'm not necessarily, thank you for that. I was going to say that we do have, and I'm not sure, I know county conservation, I know deputies will do it on occasion, but we do have, you know, even rangers or, you know, DNR folks. If they come across it, if they find some evidence, they do tend to track that down. And I see charges every once in a
yes.
while.
And so. That's great, I think. You know, if you go to the extent you're throwing a lot of nasty stuff out there, and we really appreciate leaving a name on there. That's
and
helpful.
Some do.
And I would support that too. You know, it has to stop sometime. You can't just keep saying, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. And eventually it has to just be stopped.
All right. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about, again, some of the work that's been going on the landfill and because I watch you when you visit with the supervisors and things like that.
Yeah.
So we do know that we have this effort underway to try to harvest some of the methane. We'll see how that goes. Once again, the question, and again, you and I have talked about it in the past. People have heard it, but is there enough to make our landfill productive? And probably it's not so much, is it going to be cost? I mean, it'll be cost effective, I'm sure, when they figure it out. Mm-hmm. But I think location is probably the bigger thing for them.
Yes. There's a couple things. One is be the location. As what I've heard from the company that we signed a letter of intent, I guess, to allow them to come in and do their probing and digging. And actually, there's going to be a rep coming out this Thursday. So excited to get that going a little bit. We signed the paperwork saying, and then we sit back and go, okay, when are you going to start?
Sometime this calendar year, yeah.
Yes. And they have like a 6-month time frame that they're really going to push towards to get something decided, do their testing and collection, and you know, see if it is cost effective. But yes, you alluded to location, and that is, I believe, one of the selling points is landfill is not too far from Highway 30 where they can tie into the gas line, so they can do what they need to do to purify, make the gas better, frankly. So you take landfill gas, and it's obviously, it's probably, you know, not perfect stuff, and it's wet, and it's, you know, a little bit dirty and nasty. So they're going to, whatever process they have, it'll be interesting to learn more about that, frankly, to see what they do to make it better, and then be able to send it into the pipeline and send it down down the pipe, and do something good with it. So very exciting time, I guess, to learn more about that. One of the things is location, as you alluded to. The other one is looking at their information of why is our landfill big enough?
Why is it interest?
What is the appeal to it? And I think it's because our tonnage has been up the last few years. And when you look at a timeline for when methane production is prime, I guess, in a landfill, it's not the immediate time, but it's actually when it's sitting in the ground for, you know, 5 years, 10 years. So not the immediately fresh stuff, not the really old stuff, but that, you know, semi-new, if you will. So, you know, the stuff that's been in there 5 years, 10 years, you know, maybe 20 years, depending on what it is.
Peak of decomposition, if you will.
And they're going to ask us what our, you know, what we're bringing in, how much C&D, and, you know, we'll give them what information we have about that, of course. But so it's really in that prime time of where it's probably producing the best methane. And so hopefully that holds true. It's because it's really exciting. I try to hold back thinking, man, there's a lot of good things. Really, you know, try to find the bad thing in this whole system, and there's really not. They're going to come in, they'll do their own testing, and they'll build the system. They'll build the purification system. They'll burn put in the flare as a backup. So if it's, for whatever reason, if the facility doesn't able to produce, they're still able to burn off some of the methane. So that's kind of cool, because it'll be less environmentally negative carbon dioxide versus methane, and methane's a lot worse. So if we can at least get it to dioxide, then
it's a gas form, folks. It's not the solid. It's a gas form.
So it's an improvement in that regard. And then if they're able to do something actually beneficial, that's even better. And then the kicker to it is we won't have to pay anything for that. And if the EPA or DNR comes in and says, here's your threshold now of methane production, and if they lower that threshold, because we're right nearby, and if they would lower that, then suddenly we have to do something. Well, this would help us already have something in place. And additionally, they're talking about giving some money back to us in essence, too. So a lot of good stuff.
I know. People are going, I don't know. Sounds like it. But
too good to be true.
You vetted the company. And, I mean, it wasn't the first company that came along.
Right.
But these guys have done some business in other landfills. So you were able to check with them and find out.
Yeah.
And most of them have been a little larger landfill.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, I know one of their systems is being built currently in Iowa, and they have two or three others besides us that are talking to them about this. And in that LOI, the letter understanding, the agreement to say, please, you know, take some time and test and see what you can do for us. So it's pretty exciting. You know, it's not a brand new company, which is good. Got some stability, I think, and really excited to get that going and working. And we'll see how it goes.
Well, I'm thinking one of the interesting parts for me is they must have improved their technology and being able to do this so they can work with, again, smaller size landfills potentially and still make it profitable.
So it used to be like a threshold of 100,000 ton a year, and we were always below that. We've been pushing it. We've been in the 90s for several years now. Yeah. But, you know, the fact that they could – we even talk saying, we need to start cutting back. We are going to start cutting back on the tonnage that we are taking into our landfill. And, you know, are you okay with that? Because I wanted to be crystal clear up front to say – what if we drop down, you know, 70s, 60s, you know, how low can we go before you're, you know, that's not, sure. That's not good enough. And there's no limit on what they're saying right now of, you know, that we must have this tonnage production in order to justify with that. So there's no fine print that I've seen so far.
So
we'll keep keep that on the radar, though, and make sure that that's we want to uphold our end of the bargain in this.
So let's let our listeners know about that reduction part. It's an effort, and again, that's one of the challenges. And the board supervisors actually have been pretty concerned.
You bet.
About the volume of space that's out there, and it's not going to be filled up, you know, like in a year or in 5 years and stuff. But down the road, what is the lifespan? And they've had some concerns about just how fast that's been going.
Yep, certainly. It's going too fast. We're losing a lot of airspace. And once it's gone for good. You know, it's covered up, it's gone. And the longer we can prolong that, the longer we can provide that service to our community and not become a transfer station to where probably you're going to see an increase in what that costs. We have the luxury of keeping our rates low here, but you know the trade-off is, we're so cheap, maybe that's an encouragement to people to just throw it away. Well, that probably helps with people not throwing stuff illegally, dumping and getting rid of it that way. But you know, on the flip side is, we're so cheap, are so inexpensive to throw the stuff away that people just throw everything away. And I don't like that mindset. I've never operated that way to waste things. When it's thrown away unnecessarily, just because you're done with it, oh, who cares, throw it away. And who cares if it's metal, just throw it in the garbage anyway, or a plastic container. And we go into recycling, you know, throwing all your cardboard away just because, oh, well, I don't really feel like recycling that. Well, you need to. Everybody needs to. Our entire service area needs to do a better job with that, of not just saying, oh, well, I'll throw it away. Make sure you get the metal into a metal container, back to a salvage yard that can put it to use and recycle it. We have those containers out at our landfill. So if you bring your own garbage out, we ask, you know, put your metal in the metal containers out there that are equally as accessible as the garbage containers. It's really just a matter of, you know, a few feet difference to throw it away. So do that. Take that extra effort. Do the right thing with it. Take your paper and cardboard, recycle it. Take those plastic bottles, redeem your nickels, your cans and bottles, and do the right thing with those. But if we got to start doing a better job with that. I think we do a good job recycling wise when it's
all voluntary.
Exactly. And which is wonderful. And instead of mandating it, you know, let's all get on board. Let's do a better job with it, but don't just say, oh, well, throw it away. And, that would get into that community cleanup thing. We could get into discussion about that why do we keep doing those free cleanups in those areas when, you know, we should clean it up once and be done with it. But, we'll save that for maybe another time discussion.
There's human nature involved.
There is.
That's stuff. One of the things, too. We do have all voluntary recycling. And we've talked about this in the past, too. Some people want to recycle everything. Not necessarily the case.
Right.
Again, some of this is, you know, pay attention to what you're doing. You can do it and really help out the effort if you really follow the guidelines that you've got.
Yes.
Twist it in.
Yep. You know. Follow the guidelines that are posted, get the information, and then follow it to the letter of the law, basically, to say yes and no, and don't be like, oh, I hopefully this will go, and don't be hopefully recycling or wishful recycler. Don't be doing those things.
Don't say, I'm sure this is recyclable, but
well, or it should be. Yeah, right.
I wish
everything was. You know, it'd be so much easier if we could recycle old construction and demolition waste. And, you know, we used to recycle the shingles, asphalt shingles at the county, and we haven't done that for 3 years now, I think. It was around COVID time, but it may be before that. It was a service. If we don't have a market for them, if we don't have a place to go with them, then there's no point in us doing anything with them either. So we used to haul them down to Des Moines to have them grind them up and turn them into road base and do something good with it. But they said, well, we have too much. We're not going to do that anymore. So, well, if they're not going to do it and we have no other source to send it to, then what's the point of us doing it?
Yeah.
To set it over there just so then
because you don't want to end up stockpiling and stuff like
that. And you can't. By regulations, it can't sit there for that long. It needs to be properly disposed of, and that's in the landfill, not on the concrete pad nearby. So, it's unfortunate. But, you know, if there was a use for all that stuff and there was always markets, we'd be in good shape.
Life would be so much easier.
So much.
Well, let's see. Here we are, September. That means I know Typically, we would have done the Dragoon River Romp or been talking about that. We've kind of gone away from that.
Yeah.
Is there thoughts about working back? Are you looking for groups that might be interested
still,
or what?
Yes, we still want to try the focus of saying, let's just not do it on this one weekend. I mean, we would be normally doing it this coming weekend or the following weekend.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not sure how that would go.
Well, right now it wouldn't. You'd have to walk the river.
Right. But. And that's always the challenge that we had, you know, year after year. It was like, wow, we can't get the canoes out there. We can't clean up that area, or the river's too high. It's too dangerous. There's stuff flying. There's no sandbars. Well, okay. You know, and we got into some issues with that. It seemed like more regularly for whatever reason. So still trying not wanting to give up, but we're not getting the groups to be involved like we hoped. We really want to try that on a as available basis. We'll still take care of that for
smaller.
You get your group. We'll work with you on when and how to coordinate and get the canoes for you and do all the pickup and stuff. You just need the manpower and get out and clean up the river for us. So it's not dead. You know, it's certainly not as, I don't know, it's frustrating.
It's not as it hasn't vibrant taken as it was.
Right. Yep. It is.
We used to have a lot of people would show up to
come and do it. So. It has certainly tapered off in numbers as well. There's a lot of effort in that, and I feel like it's fallen away since I've become involved. I'm trying not to take it personally, but you know, we're trying a different effort anyway, and really like to get get groups to go out and do that. So we would still appreciate that, and we need a sample. We need a guinea pig. We need a group to give it a try for us. And
so that would be if you got an idea or want to find out more or talk about it, please make contact.
Absolutely. We would love to explore that more.
Between you and Carrie, you could put together some ideas.
Absolutely.
See what happens. John Rosa, guest on our program today. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Recycle properly, please.
Exactly.